Welcome back, everybody. Tom and Yomi. Today we're up to Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph 63A, but we are on the bottom of Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis 62B. The Mishnah had told us Rekika Mikal V'Chomer that spitting on the Har HaBayis is something which is a problem based on a Kal V'Chomer. Now the Gemara is going to go and analyze this law. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi said the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol Rokik B'Har HaBayis B'Zman Hazeh Ki'ilu Rokik B'Bas Eino. Anyone who spits on Har HaBayis nowadays, meaning after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if he is spitting in the eye of Hashem. Shneimar v'ha'yuei v'libi sham kol hayamim. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Rekika beis ha'kneses shar yamidi dehava amino. So spitting in a shul, in our modern day shuls, this is allowed based on a comparison to the halacha that we are allowed to wear shoes in a shul. Ma amino b'har habayis asur beis ha'kneses mutar. Just as wearing a shoe is asur on har habayis, but you're allowed to do that in a shul. Afrikika b'har habayis uda asur. So to spitting on Har HaBayis is going to be a problem, but in a shul it's going to be okay. But now we have a question on this ruling. So one of these people said to Rava, Adria miminal negaf mikapandria. Instead of comparing the halacha of spitting to wearing a shoe, which would lead us to the conclusion that you are allowed to do it in a shul, why not compare the halacha of spitting to the kapandria, the shortcut, which you are not allowed to do in a shul, and then we would say that you are not allowed to spit in a shul. So Amar Leis, so Rava answered back, Tana Yof Mimino V'Atamar Mikapandria. So we have a Tana that tells us that the law of spitting and wearing a shoe are comparable, and you're gonna now tell me that we should compare it to the halacha of the kapandria of wearing a shoe, of using a shortcut. Why? Mahi. So now the Gemara says, what's this Tana referring to that we said makes this comparison between the shoes and the spitting? So the Tana, because it's based on the following verse: Lo yikanes adam lahar habayis. A person should not go onto har habayis. Lo b'maklo shabiyado, neither with the stick in his hand. Lo b'manalo shabarago, or with his shoes. Lo b'mos haturim b'sidno, or with money tied onto his kerchief. Upundaso mufsheles la'achorav, or with his money belt out. Lo yasenu kapandria, and you shouldn't use it as a shortcut. Rekikami kavachomer minon. We know that spitting is going to be a problem on Har HaBayis from a kavachomer of wearing a shoe. What's the kavachomer? Umam minal shein bo derech bizayon. So just as wearing a shoe, which is not even something which is known to be disrespectful. Amra Torah shal na'achomer aragach. The Torah tells us that you should remove the feet from your shoes when you're in this holy place. Rekikashi derech bizayon. Lo koshigain. So spitting, which by its nature is a disrespectful type of act. Lo koshigain. Of course you're not going to be allowed to do this on Har HaBayis. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, a continuation of the Braisa, Eino Tzarech, we don't need this Kal V'Chomer to teach us that you're not allowed to spit on Har HaBayis. Harehu Omer, because the Pasuk says by Megillas Esther, Ki Ein Lavush El Shar HaMelech B'Lavush Sak, that one should not come to the king wearing disgusting clothes. So Mordechai was not wearing the proper clothes to go visit the king. Alod Varavim Kal V'Chomer, but it's not a Kal V'Chomer. Ma Sak, just as wearing sackcloth, She'ein Omos, which is not necessarily disgusting. Lefnei Basar Badam Kach, in front of the king Achashverosh, this would have been a problem and considered a great dishonor. Rekika, so spitting on Har HaBayis, Shehimu Usa, which by its very nature is something which is disgusting. Lefnei Melech Machayam Lachem Gol Koshkein, to do this in front of Hashem is not going to be a problem. So what we do see from here is that the first Tana in this Braisa told us that the very clear comparison is between shoes and spitting. So to tell us that we have to use the comparison between spitting and shortcut is ridiculous. So Amar Leih, so he said, no, Rava, this is really what I was trying to say. You are right that there is certainly a comparison between shoes and spitting, but maybe we can also use the comparison between shortcuts and spitting also. Why? Anahachla ka'amina. Neimahachla chumra v'hachla chumra. Let's use it both elements for a chumra. What does this mean? Ve'ema harabais also mimina lilfa mimino. When it comes to harabais, which is usher to wear shoes, so we'll learn out from there. Just as it's usher to wear shoes, it's also usher to spit. Avabay sekenes deshar mimino. But in a shul where you are allowed to wear a shoe, adi alf mimino leheter. So instead of learning it from shoes to spitting, to teach us that you're allowed to spit in shul, negaf mi kapandria ule iser. Let us say that really we're going to learn it out from the shortcut halacha and say that it's usher to spit in a shul. So Rava says, okay, let's explain a little differently. Ela amar Rava, rather Rava says ki beso. The reason why we know that you're not allowed to spit, based on the limud, based on learning out from the comparison of shoes, is because we can assume that it would be similar to the standard of living that we would want to have in one's own home. What does this mean? Ma beso akapandria kapid inish, arakiko minalo kapid inish. So just as someone in his own home would mind, let's say someone just came into your house to use it as a shortcut to get to the next block, you would mind that. That would be something that you wouldn't allow. But spitting or wearing a shoe where, again, the floors were made out of dirt, nowadays people would care, but where the floors were made out of dirt, maybe you wouldn't care as much. So same thing with the shul. Kapandri hudas or akiko minal shari. So using it as a shortcut is going to be a problem, but spitting or wearing a shoe, would in that situation be okay. Now, the next thing the Mishnah told us. The Mishnah said, Kol chos mei brachos sheva mikdash. The Mishnah told us that initially, at the end of every bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to say ad olam, and then all of a sudden, the tzedukim came and said, oh, we see from there, there's just one world. There's not two worlds. There's no olam hazeh and olam haba. So then they said, min ha'olam b'yad ha'olam. They added this extra element of another world to go ahead and go against the tzedukim. So now the Gemara says, kol kach lama. Why do we need all of these extensions to the brachos? This seems to be all what we say after every single bracha when it's in the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we need all of this? So answers the Gemara, lufi she'in onanam amein b'mikdash, because there was no such thing as the amein in the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, they would say something longer of baruch she'in kivod machus ol yom v'ed, and then the other people would say baruch Hashem elokei yisrael min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. So there is much longer responses to brachos than just amein in the Beis HaMikdash. Minayin she'in onanam amein. And how do we know that you don't make amen in the Beis HaMikdash? Because the pasuk says, when the Levim were telling the Jews what to do when they were rebuilding the second Beis HaMikdash, he said, Kumu baruchu es Hashem Elokecha min ha'olam ad ha'olam. The Omer, and then it says, Vivarachu shem kivodecha omromam al kol bracha. And then it tells us how we're supposed to go and finish off the brachos, so we see that we finish it in that light. Yachol kol brachos go into Hila and Tehila acha. So you might think that maybe we should say every single bracha together and then have one big response at the end of all of the brachos together, as opposed to saying this response after every single bracha. Tam lomar, umrama alko bracha u tehila, alko bracha u bracha tein lo tehila. Good. Now the Mishnah went on and said, Hiskinushi Adam Shoa B'Shalom Chavir. So the Mishnah told us that they made some sort of takana that you should start greeting people with Hashem's name. And we said, even though that might be a problem because you're not supposed to just throw around Hashem's name, so there was some concept called Eis La'asos Hashem, Hefiru Sorasecha. At certain times, the Chachamim are allowed to institute things, even if it may seem to go against the Torah, to go ahead and preserve the Torah. And we had many sources for this. We had a source from Boaz, and then we had a bunch of different psukim that taught us that we are allowed to do this. So now the Gemara asks, Mai Va'omer. So once we had this proof from Boaz, who said, Hashem Imachem, and then they said, Baki Varacha Hashem. So once we had that whole proof, why did we need these other psukim as well? So answers the Gemara V'chitema Boaz Midai Tidanav Shei Kamar. If you might think that Boaz did that for himself, but it wasn't proper necessarily. We shouldn't rely and use all future things based on Boaz. That's not a good proof. Tashma Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChayil. That's why we had the second pasuk where we had this idea of the angel talking to Gidon in Navi. V'chitema Malachu Dekamar Leila Gidon. And if you want to say, okay, that's a Malach talking to Gidon, so Hashem told him to do that. It's nothing to do that we can learn from. Tashma Al Tavos ki zikna imecha. So we have another pasuk which told us that we are allowed to rely on our previous generations, on our past chacham. So we would be allowed to rely on Boaz as a source for teaching us that his actions were fine. Shiv Omer, and then we learned Eis La'asos Hashem Efir Sorsecha, that certain times we are allowed to violate, so to speak, the Torah so as to preserve the Torah. The greatest chacham are allowed to make that equation and figure out when it's necessary. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hai kra me reishu l'seifi midrash. So we saw this at the end of the Mishnah also, but Rava says, this pasuk of Eis La'asos Hashem Efir Sorsecha can be learnt out backwards and forwards. Miseifi l'reishu midrash. So if you want to start from the back and go to the front, me reishu l'seifi midrash. Or you can go from the front and go to the back. What does this mean? Eis La'asos Hashem. This means it's a time for Hashem to act, to bring punishment to those who sin. My time, Mishim Efir Sorsecha, because they have nullified your laws. And Miseifi l'reishu midrash. Now we can do the opposite way, Efir Sorsecha, that they have nullified your laws, meaning the tzaddikim have kind of changed the laws for in Hashem's Torah in some situation. My time, what's the reason? Misha Meis La'asos Hashem, in order to preserve the Torah in this type of situation. Now we have further things that are learned from Eis La'asos Hashem, Efi Zor Secha. So Tanya, we was taught in the Brisa. Hillel Zaken Omer, Hillel Zaken says, B'shash Hamachnisin Pazer. If someone lives in a time where there are many Chacham, but they're not being Marbitz Torah, there's no one to really teach or no one to Chinuch, you should go out and make sure you teach. B'shash Hamifazrim Kanes. But if there are many people learning, then you don't have to be the one to do it. You don't have to have that position of authority. If you see that it's a generation that's just so thirsty and dying for Torah, go ahead and continue to teach. Great. But if you see that it's a generation that just doesn't care about the Torah, then you gotta use your judgment, and maybe you shouldn't teach as much. Maybe it's because people would misinterpret it. People wouldn't use it in the proper way. Now says the Gemara, Darash Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara learned out, Zalas Kvotz Kinei Mineis. Gemara teaching us a very fundamental, basic principle in investing, which is, if something falls in value, buy it, and then in the end, you will be able to sell high. So buy low, sell high. And then, Ba'asar, Deles Gvar, Taman Heve Gvar. And in a place where there is no man to teach Torah, you should go ahead and be that person. Similar to what we learned in Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Makom She'ini Shishtad Aliosish, that you should go and be the man if you see no one's doing that. Amar Abaye Abaye says, Shema Minabasar De Iskvar Taman Lo Tavigvar. What we learn from here is that if you are in a place where there are great tzaddik, tzaddikim and great people in charge, then you don't have to be that type of person. Oh, pshita, this is obvious. Of course, that would follow. Lo nitzchachayel b'shneim shnavim. So no, this is needed for a situation where you have two people who are equal, even if you see that person's on the same stature as you or not lower than you, then you also can defer to that person to continue to be in charge in some capacity. So Darash Bar Kapara Bar Kapara learned out. Ezui Parsha Kitanisha Kol Gufei Torah Tluyim Ba. So what is a part in the Torah which is so fundamental to everything that the Torah relies on? B'chol Derechatei Uvehu Yasher Or Chosecha. That the Pasuk says, in all your ways you must know him and he will straighten out your paths, meaning we have to do our best to go ahead and serve God, and everything has to be in terms of God's will, and then Hashem will put us on the right path. Amarava Afilu Dvar Avera. This is even true when we are doing some sort of Avera, because in a certain time, the honor of Hashem demands that we might have to sin in this situation. This goes back to the great Chacham can figure out certain times when certain things are needed. Darash bar kapara bar kapara learned out. The olam yilamid adam espino umanos nikia vikala. A person should always teach his son an easy and good profession. Mahi, so what kind of profession is this? Amarifchista machta de talmuta. That this is some sort of stitching thing where you're able to stitch something. It's easy. It's simple. You don't have to cheat anyone. It's a nice thing. Utanya was taught in a brisa. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says, liomayar ba adam reim besoch peso. A person shouldn't invite too many people into his house. Shenemar ish reim lishro rea. Because then it causes fights. Tanya, Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says, al yimane Adam apitrobus pesoch peso. A person shouldn't have someone as the administrator in his house, meaning shouldn't give him too much power within your house. How do we know this? Because if Potiphar hadn't given Yosef all this power, then the whole incident with Eshes Potiphar would never have happened. Why in Parshas Naso is the Parsha of Nazir right next to the Parsha of Sota? So, Lomar Alcha, to teach us, Shakwa Roa, Sota Pikukul, Yazir Atzma Menayan, come to teach us that anyone who sees a Sota getting blown up, and you see how terrible that whole situation is, you're gonna see how bad wine is, because wine is probably what caused that. You're gonna see how bad wine is and getting drunk is, and then you are going to stay away from it. So why was the Parsha of Sota then right next to the Parsha of giving Truma and Meiser? Lomar Lach, come and teach us, Kol Sheishlo, Truma and Meiser, Ve'eno Nosun LaKohen, that anyone who has Truma and Meiser and doesn't give it to the Kohen or to the Levi, Sof Nitzrach LaKohen Al Yidei Ishto. So they are going to need to go to the Kohen for the purpose, because his wife is going to become a Sota. So you're going to have to go to the Kohen anyway, so you may as well give it in the Truma and Meiser. Shnem Rav Ish Es Kedashav Lo Yeh, V'samach Le Ish Ish Kisiste Ishto, Uksiv Ve'hevi Ha'ish Es Ishto. So we see it's going to cause some bad things. And not only are you going to have a wife who's going to be something like a sota, and you're going to have to go to the Kohen, but also you're going to become poor, and you are going to need the Meiser Ani, which is going to be given to you. But if you do give the Trumas and Meisros, then you are going to become rich. The Pasuk says that if someone gives to the Kohen, mamun harba, you are going to get a lot of money. Another teaching which teaches us how you can get great wealth. Amar Rav Huna Bar Berchia Mishum Rebel Zarkapar. Kol HaMishtatev Shem Shemayim Bitzaro Kofun Lo Parnasato. Anyone who makes Hashem a partner in his troubles, they get a tremendous parnasa. Meaning, when things are going bad for you, you say Baruch Tain Emissar, you acknowledge that this is from Hashem and you accept it, it's going to be good for you. Shnemar Vaya Shaddai Bitzarecha Vekesef Toa Fosulachar. Mishmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Sor Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says Parnasas Omu Ofefes Lo Ketzipor, that your parnasa is going to like fly like a bird. It's going to be amazing without difficulty. Shnemar Vekesef Toa Fosulach. Good. Amar Rav Tavi Amar Rav Yoshia Kol Hamarapa Atzma Midivrei Torah Inbo Koach Lamod Biyom Tzara. So anyone who stays away from Torah, they're not going to be able to stand when they are going through Tzara. Shnemar Hisra Pisa Biyom Tzara Tzara Kochecha. Amar Rav Yama Bar Masna Amar Shmuel Vafilu Mitzvah Achas. And even if he has weakened himself in one mitzvah, it's going to cost him. Shnemar Hisra Pisa Mikol Makom. So something that we need to make sure to be mechazik ourselves in is to make sure that we stay strong in mitzvahs and in Torah, even at tough times. Just to end, there's one quick idea that some of the Achronim bring up, which is that our relationship with Hashem in terms of our money is like an investor. Hashem sees us as investors. What does this mean? That if Hashem gives us money and we use that money properly, then Hashem is going to want to give us more. But if he gives us money and sees that we are not using it properly, then he is not going to want to give us more. Because imagine, you give someone money to invest. They could be the nicest person in the world doing all the amazing things, but if they lose all your money and they don't use it the way that you want them to, you are not going to give them more. Same thing with Hashem. We could be doing tons of mitzvahs, but if we're not giving tzedakah and doing what we should be doing with our money, why would Hashem want to give us more? An interesting point to think about. This is Daf Samach Gimel Aleph. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.